This is Vern Casper. Party Line was put on the air to give voice to problem solving in our community.
Talking local on WILO.
This is Party Line on WILO, at your side since 1960. This is your forum for public opinion and comment. The opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent the views of WILO management, employees, or sponsors. Now let's join Party Line on WILO.
Oh, it never hurts to kick off things. A new week with a little bit of Eagles almost gone, already gone, I should say. 1570 WILO, 107, Boone's Best here. Party Line, Chan Sheridan with you on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Glad to be with you as we gear up for the pretty much the last week of March, the last full week of March. Going to be in Holy Week next week. Hard to believe Easter just around the corner, folks. Wow. Resurrection Day just around the corner. Amazing how quickly this this month has zoomed by. But we appreciate you being with us. We had some beautiful weather Sunday. My goodness. Breaking temperature, breaking records, 88 degrees. Amazing. Good show for you today. Kim Stevens is going to be top of the hour. We hope to talk to former Senator Jim Merritt. He has written a book about lessons learned in COVID. We'll be talking to Mr. Merritt, hopefully in a little bit, as we get the show going here. But before we do all of that, we've got to make sure that you know what's going on with the folks that make this happen each and every day. And we certainly hope that you go out and support them. You know, I down in Indianapolis this weekend and talking to a lot of different people, especially retailers, and everybody's struggling. There's a lot of folks struggling. We'll talk about that, I'm sure, with Kim coming up. But a lot of folks are struggling in the business world, and we just want to remind you every time you get a chance to shop local, every time you get a chance to be a part of helping somebody here, small business, local business, whatever the case may be, regional business, try to do that. It'd be greatly appreciated. You never know how much your, you know, $5, $10, $100, $50, $200 helps with small business. Speaking of TC Trailers, if you're not pulling a TC trailer, you're not pulling your weight. Ivy Tech Community College, changing lives. Big Old Tires in Lebanon. Big deals, save money now, 24/7. We love bigdeals.com. We're going to go over those big deals in just a little bit. Some good stuff. Boone, countydailynews.com. Your free local news source for Lebanon and Boone County. Carroll County DailyNews.com, your free local news service for Delphi and Flora. And Clinton County Daily News, .com, your free local online newspaper for all things Frankfort and Rossville, Colfax, Michigantown, Kirkland, Mulberry, you name it, all covered. Avery, Edna Mills, all the little burgs around, Forest, Circleville, we've got you covered. Also helping us out is the HoosierTV.com. It's the telecast, the online telecast of Party Line and so many other events and so many other programs, ball games, they get covered. 51 West Event Center, the Farmers Bank, Sheep's Country Foods, Culligan Water of Boone and Clinton County, Day and Ginda Funeral Home, Solidarity Community Federal Credit Union, Sam I Am Carpet Cleaning, Big O Tires in Lebanon, Arborwood by Shoops, Welty Exteriors, Newell Gas, Wesley Manor Retirement Community, Stone Alley Hardware and Industrial Supply, Community Foundation serving Carroll, Clinton, and Howard counties, Simplify Family Dental, Tornado Roofing, Siding, and Gutters, Witham Health Services, Ellis Jewelers, Marshan's Window Tinting, VFW Post 1110 in Frankfort, Copper Electric Services, LLC, Braden Business Systems, Avery Home Store, Lenin's Furniture and Mattress, Jerry's Body Shop, and Mann Chevrolet GMC in Delphi. All of these folks make sure that you get to see the telecast of on Hoosierland TV of not just Party Line, but all the other events that are broadcast through Casper Media that help you stay connected and stay informed right here in good old Clinton County and well beyond, and all the other counties that we reach and that we serve. So we greatly appreciate all of those sponsors making it work. We were talking about weather over the weekend. My goodness, Sunday was just, as I mentioned, my wife and I, we were down in Indianapolis, and it was gorgeous. 88 degrees. It was amazing. Broke records and just a great. And of course, things even got more heated with the Purdue Boilermakers winning. The only Indiana team right now in the tournament. Actually, the only Indiana team that made the tournament. That's unusual, I think. I mean, normally you got Indiana, Notre Dame. You know, Butler has been in there before. Evansville, Indiana State, but the Boilers, the lone team, and boy, what a big win they had Sunday. So, Sweet 16, and my bracket is still intact. Florida kind of really messed up one side of the bracket, but I've had all along. I picked St. John playing Purdue in the national championship, so we'll see. But St. John's pretty good ball club, but they got some big tests coming. Big tests coming for both teams this weekend. Well, let's talk about the weather. Today, mostly sunny with a high near 53. We're looking at really pleasant as far as the winds, not too breezy. Tonight, we've got a low of 38. Tomorrow, listen to this, partly sunny with a high near 67. Right there, getting close to that perfect 70, 75. Wednesday night, 30% chance of rain and thunderstorms, and we're looking at a low of 55. Now think about Wednesday night's low will be today's high. Thursday, a chance of rain and thunderstorms. Then looking at mostly sunny with a high near 80 on Thursday. Yes, I did say that. 80 before March is over. So we'll have at least 2 days that we've had 80-degree temperatures in March. Thursday night, a chance of rain and thunderstorms. Now, this is where we got to kind of watch things. There's a chance of some severe weather, so we'll keep an eye on the sky. Your WILO Weather Center will keep things monitored and let you know how things go. But, you know, it is that time of the year. It's kind of like, you know, when you're getting on an airplane and you're getting all settled in, and then the pilot comes on and says, "Hey, folks, we're looking for a good flight today." Now, we're going to be experiencing a little bit of bumpy weather about halfway through the flight. So, you know, we'll let you know. I always hate hearing that. Just don't tell me, you know. Let the bumps come and go. But we might have a little bit of turbulence on Thursday night, just so you know. Friday, rain likely before 8 a.m. and then starts to clear a little bit. But, boy, we drop the temperature again. We're going to drop about 40 degrees. It's going to be high of 45 on Friday. And real quick, weekend, Sunday, or Saturday, sunny with a high near 50, and Sunday, partly sunny with a high near 59. So, not too bad. Again, what absolutely is expected at this time of the year, March, it is a roller coaster time to be able to plan anything. you don't do a whole lot of outdoor events in March. Even April is tough. That's one of the reasons that we make sure Thursday Thunder goes a little bit later anymore, and we get it into October. We'd rather start later and go later because the weather seems to be more cooperative later in the year. But we'll be talking about Thursday Thunder with Kim Stevens coming up at the top of the hour and all things Frankfort Main Street. We like to talk deals around here. Big deals. Today's big deal will be is the Baked a Cookie Company. Oh, and they are good. Tim and Katie, they do great work. I love their bread, sourdough bread. The sourdough muffins are really good. I just have to tell you. I've also had some of their jalapeno jam. So check it out. Baked a Cookie Company in Kirkland. They got pastries, donuts, breads. They got pretty much every kind of baked good you can imagine. But here's the deal. Get extra savings today only. Usual price for a $10 gift certificate is $5. But today, at welovebigdeals.com. Again, this is the way you can support local. This is how you can support local business. $4 each. Now you're gonna buy $10 for $4. That's you can't beat that. I mean, that is a very strong return on your investment. And believe me, it is definitely a delicious return on your investment. So usually they are $10. The certificates are $10, but they're normally $5 to buy them in the WeLoveBigDeals.com. But now we're talking $4. So there you go. And that is the big deal that we have going on today. I'm not too sure if it will be extended, so you better take advantage of it today. So go to WeLoveBigDeals.com. Get your Baked a Cookie out of Kirkland, Indiana. Baked a Cookie gift certificate. You will not be you won't be disappointed. I'm telling you. Been there. Really good stuff. Also wanted to let you know, speaking of storms earlier, if you want to go to the storm spotter training, that's tonight at 6 o'clock at the Frankfort Police Department. From 6 to 8 p.m., there's going to be a storm spotter training, 6 to 8 p.m., and this is sponsored by the Clinton County Emergency Management and the National Weather Service. Great, great people. Renee Crick does a great job, and they're going to be doing that tonight. Storm spotter training from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Frankfort Police Department. And that's a big deal because we are going into that time of the year where you never know what's going to happen, what's going to take place. Also, a lot of things coming up. We got the Easter Bunny Easter Egg Hunt coming up at the park this weekend and so many other things happening. But right now, our guest is joining us, former Senator Jim Merritt. He was part of the Senate for about three decades. He's been there for a long time, and he has now written a book about COVID-19 called Lessons Learned, and joining us today, we appreciate. Hey, Jim, how are you today?
I'm well. Good morning. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for being a part of the Party Line program, one of the longest running talk shows in the state of Indiana. So,
wow, I feel I'm fortunate. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Well, we appreciate you. Well, first of all, I want to thank you for your service as a senator. It's not easy being a public servant. It's certainly not easy in the culture that we're in today, and probably the last 10 years, you probably saw that more than anyone. I'm going to ask you a question about that first. What's changed in our culture, in our society, especially from your perception as a public servant, when you first started working in that position to now?
Well, I believe that our politics has degraded some. It's gotten more in your face, more severe, more personal, and a lot of times, it's not focused on public policy, but the idea of philosophy. And I like the challenge of the counterintuitive, meaning I wrote the Kids First License Plate that created money for prevention of child abuse. We didn't do prevention of child abuse prevention programs in state government at that time. I wrote the law that I actually wrote a law about wrote a book about historic preservation, because I believe if we're going to honor people, we need to keep we need to prevent the decay of memorials and whatnot. But I also talked about and wrote about the Safe Haven Law, which is the baby box bill, where, you know, people might think that you're enabling parents to get around the adoption law. And I also wrote the Lifeline Law, which allows individuals who are under 21 to have immunity in the case of a social emergency of an alcohol being overserved. And that might be the challenge to that was we're enabling people to drink alcohol, which is not true. So I believe now that philosophy and the idea of I don't want to say tribal, but it's in that area of tribalism versus good public policy. And so politics has changed a great deal in the last 30 years.
Oh, absolutely. Totally agree. Let's talk a little bit, well, not a little bit, but the rest of the time. We've got a little time with you here. Going to go to the top of the hour, but we want to talk to you about the book, Lessons Learned. First of all, why did you write that book?
When I was in early 2020, I was the part of the Senate that adjourned in March 11, 2020, and we had this unknown illness. We had a flu infection, that turned into a total pandemic. And I watched in 2020 how everybody in government scrambled. And they were really traveling with their blinders on because they didn't know what this great illness was and was going to be. And so throughout 2020, crisis communicators and so many people were commenting that were so-called experts. And it was just a real cluster. It was real chaotic. It was confusing. And I watched. I resigned and stepped away from the Senate in 2020, November. And I watched for the next 2 years where people tried their hardest to get their handle on it. And there were just so many voices and not one authority. And one of the lessons learned was CDC should not be in charge next time. They are backward looking research entity that should not have been in charge.
Yeah, I would totally agree with you on that. Absolutely, totally agree with you on that.
Right. So I started in 2022. I'd watched for 2 years the scramble, and I just started thinking, well, there's got to be an after action report. There's got to be some sort of commission. There's care, mental health, corporate, the religious sector, all these individuals, independent of each other, were operating in silos and boards of health, and everybody was on their own. And by 2022, no one had called for it. So I thought, I'm going to put this down on paper. I'm going to write my own after action report. That's what this book is, along with a history of pandemics in our world.
Yeah. So the let's talk about the lessons learned. I mean, you mentioned it was kind of certainly it was not kind of it was very chaotic. I'll just be totally transparent with you. I'm a pastor here of a local church. I also am the director of the chamber, work with economic development in our community, coach football. So I got several hats in the sense of the public. And I will tell you that it was absolutely chaotic and totally, this is my humble opinion, totally mismanaged in the way things were handled with a lot of different groups. And I totally agree with you with the silo. I think there was so many silos of people that were still trying to do what they're supposed to do. I mean, we're dealing with small businesses. We're dealing with companies that are trying to make product. We're dealing with all kinds of things. And everybody's kind of being told different things. And when you use the word experts, there were experts on a variety of different fronts that were giving us different information, which was completely confusing, I'm sure, to your constituents as well as, just the general public. So, what lessons did we learn in your estimation as you looked back and now you've written this this book? What lessons did we learn, or have we learned, or maybe not learned from COVID-19?
Well, it's all of that, and the book starts off with, and I'll be really brief with this because I know we don't have a whole lot of time. But the book starts out with talking about a metaphor of a tree, and the metaphor is the community, and they're a lot alike. Where if a tree is going to grow and leaf out and have big sturdy branches, it's got to have great water and wonderful soil. If the community is going to grow, it's got to have truth. It's got to have credibility. It's got to have trust. Fear has to be eliminated. And if the community is going to grow, all those factors have to play. And they're really cultural ideas and cultural nutrients for the community. And what I did was, in the first part of the book, I wrote about all the pandemics in history and what we learned from them. And a lot of it had to do with cleanliness. And fast forward to the Spanish flu, and I talk about this parade in Philadelphia in late September. I think it was September 28th in 1918. St. Louis saw that this flu hit Philadelphia so hard during that time in that parade. St. Louis actually canceled their ongoing municipal and gatherings of big crowds, and that was a good start. However, a lot of people, when you ask them about the Spanish flu, they really don't, unless they've seen a movie or something, they don't really understand that in World War One, more people died from the flu than the battleground. And Woodrow Wilson, as president, actually came back and died of that flu. FDR, who was a assistant secretary of the Navy, was bedridden for 2 weeks. And so you look through the 20th century, and it's all about medicine. It's government investing in medicine and science, whereas foundations were doing it. Right now, in the third chapter, we have a chapter where I offer solutions. One solution that people really don't know, maybe you know, is that you can look at municipal wastewater and understand if something is flowing through the bodies of the citizens, so you know what the health of the community is. Another lesson learned is the idea of speaking with one voice, with credibility, and knowing who the authority is. Japan tested masks. We did not. The lesson learned is you need to gather and understand what the stockpile should look like and how we should run our society in the way of being ready. And right now, I just don't think people would be willing to be at home and shelter in place, because there's no trusted entity who they would respect.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, here's the challenge. You know, we were told as part of the discussion, you know, we were told that, hey, 2 weeks, we're going to flatten the curve. Let's just, everybody, cool down, stay in place. That 2 weeks ended up being like 3 years, Jim. I mean, I mean, that's where the trust was the disconnect for a lot of people. We had small businesses shut down. You know, my wife owns a small Walmart was open, and yet government was saying that you can't have a small business. You know, you can't be open as a small business. That to me was crazy, nuts.
Yes. And I do handle the essential versus the non-essential, one thing that's of interest, probably to your listeners and maybe yourself, is that there is a arm of the Army. There's a section of the Army, U.S. Army, that knows everything about infection, that knows everything about vaccination, knows everything about. About pandemics, and if people watched with Operation Warp Speed, that was run by two military personnel, and we talk about this. When somebody comes on television or on the internet online, and they talk about the Iran War, it's my belief that they're very respected rather than a politician. I think in the next pandemic that that the military should run the response and be the entity because of their people respecting them, as well as the success of Operation Warp Speed.
Hmm. Well, I don't disagree with you. I'm not going to be argumentative, but I would say this, that there is a challenge with that today, though. We have ICE, you know, and now you've got military folks that are coming in trying, and you've got a lot of people that are not trusting what's going on there. And as you bring National Guard and military in, I don't know. You guys were in a tough situation. I totally understand what was going on and what was happening as far as the responsibility and what leadership was trying to do to protect people. Because I think that, you know, there was a lot of information that was coming down that you as a leader was probably, were you not vetting some of that, or were you not looking at some of that going, well, this doesn't make sense, but this does? I mean, what's your take on the information that you were getting as a leader, as a senator, and how you guys were trying to make decisions in the State House?
Well, I'm glad you asked that question, because Governor Holcomb, who was operating as cohesive and as best as he can, you may or may not recall, Eric went on Facebook Live every day at 1:30.
Yeah, yeah, he did. I will say that. Yeah, great job on communicating. Yep.
Yes. However, I don't know what the number is, but 65% of the state was covered by broadband at the time, and so 35% of the state was not getting that message. And so what we're going to need in the future is the use of the clergy, the use of firefighters, the use of credible information in a way that people understand it and they believe it. And it's absolutely got to reach everyone. And that's why when you see Starlink be so successful over in Ukraine, we need a communication device that can reach everyone, and it has to be focused, it has to be truthful, and it's got to be credible. And I think that is I think that's a large order. That's a tall tree to climb, and that's why we have to start now, because it could be 100 years from now. It could be 100 days from now, but this book, Lessons Learned, is a clarion call that we need to gather as a community, meaning a global community. There are a lot of countries that did it right. There are a lot of countries that did it wrong. There's a community in Colorado that if you left, you could not come back, and they wouldn't let anybody in, and they were in pretty good shape. South Korea did it very, very well. We have to look at models that regardless of what strikes us in the way of health crisis, that we have authorities that are trusted, that are in place, that people believe in. And I feel for your wife with a small business, because I didn't, as a state senator, I didn't really know who to believe. As well as I think if I were in Governor Holcomb's spot, I would be having Zoom calls with all 150 legislators. I'd be talking to, and maybe they did, but from what I could see, the focusing on the clergy, Eric going into that Nashville pizza parlor without a mask on and taking a selfie, his credibility sunk. One minute we had a mask mandate. We did not have a mask mandate on July 22nd. At 2 o'clock, he calls the press conference, and he has it. He calls for it. And all the Senate caucus was in a meeting, and we didn't know it that day. And so there was just a crush of information from all corners. And next time, we need to understand what happened in 2020 through 22, and when you look at the governor, bless his heart, he was working as hard as he could with what he could. He was following the CDC. He had 70 executive orders, and it was an absolute cluster of what was right and what was wrong.
God bless them all, because it was a very tough time. And what your book is all about, hey, this could happen again, more than likely will happen again. How can we be ready? I do appreciate, Jim, your time today, and thank you so much.
Available on Amazon.com.
Yeah, that was my question. How do people get a hold of you? How do people get a hold of the book?
Well, you can drop me an email, jwmerritt49@gmail.com, as well as the fact that I'm on Twitter and Facebook, and the book is available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNobleOnline.com.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Greatly appreciate it. Hey, and I don't look at it from a philosophical, I look more of it really kind of theologically. And when you mention truth and you trust, the key that we have to understand that there is a truth. There is a truth, but a lot of times that gets distorted and bent and twisted and changed, and we have to be we have to have some good filters out there. I should say we should never filter the truth. The truth should not be, it should be unfiltered, but we need people, I mean, mouthpieces.
We need
truth tellers. That's right. Communicators. Yes. Amen. Right. Jim, thank you. Have a great day, my friend. God bless.
Talk to you soon. Have a better one.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye. Jim Merritt, he is the former senator here in Indiana, and did a great job. 30 years of public service there. And the book is Lessons Learned. You can get it on Amazon, where most books are sold. So look it up. Lessons Learned by Jim Merritt. And you can catch him on all of his social medias, Facebook, the X account, and, of course, Merritt in the Morning. He's got a podcast, Merritt in the Morning. So make sure you check that all those things out. We're running a little bit over, but that's okay. We'll be right back. We're going to take a quick break. Come back with Kim Stevens on this edition of Party Line. Thank you.